So for some completely inexplicable reason, I have gotten a very little amount of sleep this last week. So I ask you all to be gracious to me this morning. But in this morning's gospel, the evangelist Luke recounts for us Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem before his passion, death, and resurrection. In this pericope, we get a picture of our Lord that is not the pop culture image, always meek and mild. But instead, we get a Jesus who weeps over sin, who pronounces judgment, and who chases merchants out of the temple. We not only see the good teacher, but we see the God who visits his people. In the name of Jesus, amen. This morning we hear Jesus say, "You did not know the time of your visitation." What does it mean for God to visit his people? The Greek word used here is episkopos. In the Greco-Roman world, an episkopos, literally overseer, was a general who was invested with absolute power. That general would visit a rowdy military camp to restore order. The coming of the episkopos would strike fear in the hearts of any rowdy soldier because they knew that they would be punished. But loyal soldiers could expect rewards and would rejoice in the restoration of order. For those of you who know your Old Testament, you know the entire Old Testament is a story of an unfaithful people and a faithful God who visits his people. God visited Abraham and Sarah, giving them their promised child despite Sarah's laughter. The book of Exodus recounts how God visited his people in Egypt and rescued them from their slavery through the waters of the Red Sea, bringing destruction upon Pharaoh. God led his people into the promised land, and there he dwelt with them. He established his gracious presence in the temple so that the people of Israel could look there and know that God desired to be with them, that God desired to make peace with sinful man. Despite God's visitation, however, on behalf of his people, and despite his gracious dwelling in the temple, the people of Israel rebelled against him. Yet God sent prophets to call his people to repentance, to call them back to himself. Some heard the prophets and believed, but most did not. From ancient Jewish writings, we hear that the prophet Isaiah was sawed in half, Amos was tortured and slain, and Habakkuk stoned in Jerusalem. The prophets foretold the day of the Lord, when God would visit his people again, when the episkopos, the overseer of the universe, would come in power to set all things right. The day of the Lord is terrifying. The prophet Isaiah warns rebellious Israel. Their land is filled with idols. They bow down to the works of their hands. So man is humbled and each one is brought low. Hide in the dust from before the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, for the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty. Hear again the words of the prophet Amos spoken to the unfaithful. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord! Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light. For those who do not see, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord's visitation, is a day of judgment. But for those who do see, it is a day of hope. The prophet Joel says, On the day of the Lord, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the prophet Isaiah foresees a servant who was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, who was wounded for our transgressions, who was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. For the faithful, the day of the Lord's visitation is the day of salvation, the day that all things are set right. In our text this morning, we see the fruition of all that the prophets had foretold. From Mary's womb to the cross on Calvary, God came in the flesh to visit his people. And he came to make peace. Some recognize Jesus as the great Episcopos, in whom the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Zechariah sang, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us," as he spoke by the mouth of his prophets of old. Faithful Simeon, upon seeing the baby Jesus, broke into song. "My eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people." But like the prophets of old were rejected, Jesus was rejected by Jerusalem. This is why Jesus weeps when he looks upon the city, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." Because of their hardness of heart, Jerusalem did not see in Jesus that God had come to visit his people and bring the things that make for peace. First, they rejected the prophets sent by God, and now they reject God himself. Jesus laments, "For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up barricade around you, and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." For those who do not recognize the visitation of the Lord and remain in rebellion, it is a day of judgment. Jesus laments over Jerusalem, that the city will be torn down to the ground. Comes the pass when the armies of Rome, under the emperor Vespasian, brutally destroy the city. Recalling Amos's prophecy of darkness, it is fitting that Vespasian, whose name means evening, brought Jerusalem to her end. But Jesus did not come to judge. In his weeping, Jesus says, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace." Jesus came to bring the things that make for peace. What are those things? What are the things that were hidden from the eyes of Jerusalem that day? Remember, God dwelled in the temple, and through the temporal sacrifices, he made peace with his people. We read that when Jesus entered Jerusalem, he cleanses the temple. He began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." However, God would not dwell in that temple anymore. The temple sacrifices only pointed forward to the true sacrifice of the suffering servant spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. Jesus came in the flesh as the new temple, the Episcopos, God himself, to bring the things of peace to his people. Jesus entered Jerusalem to be mocked and scourged, to be acquainted with grief. He came to be crucified, to be wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. He came to be lifted up upon the cross so that all could look there and see. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. When God visited his people, he brought to them the things of peace, the final sacrifice, the broken body and spilt blood of Christ. On Good Friday, the day of the Lord finally came to pass, and God judged Christ guilty. And anyone who by the Holy Spirit recognizes the visitation of God and calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. And today is the day of the Lord's visitation. We are like Israel of old. God brought them out of slavery from Egypt through the waters of the Red Sea. He has brought you out of slavery to sin, death, and the devil through the waters of your baptism. Like Israel, we sin against God and turn to idols. But God continually calls us back to himself through his holy word. And like God dwelt with Israel in the temple, God dwells with his people here today. God locates his gracious presence, his forgiving presence, his redeeming presence in his temple, the Holy Christian Church. And he dwells with us. God visits people today, visits us today, in the flesh. This is why it is traditional for the pastor to hold up the chalice and host when he says those blessed words, the peace of the Lord, because he is showing you the things that make for peace. Christ's body broken on the cross and his blood shed for you. Christ cleansed the temple on that day in Jerusalem. And today he will cleanse his church. Look and see, brothers and sisters, the visitation of the Lord. Look and see God in the flesh. And know the things that make for peace. And after we have seen these things, we often break into song like faithful Simeon did. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Amen.